Thanks be to God for the ways Jesus Christ is working in all of our lives, and especially in the lives of our young people. Before we hear God's word read and proclaimed, let us turn to God in prayer. Please join me in prayer. By your word and spirit, move among us now, O God. Grant that we may hear your voice and be lifted above the ordinary of our daily lives to see your hand at work. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Our scripture lesson is found in the book of Ruth, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. We're reading the happily ever after ending of a story that's often been viewed as an island of tranquility in the middle of Bible stories, often filled with political instability, violence, and injustice. In the book of Ruth, people generally act well toward one another. At times, their care and concern for others goes above and beyond the bounds of usual human responsibility. Those at the margins receive the care, attention, and kindness of those in the center. And the providence of God leads to greater wholeness for everyone. The microcosm of the human community and family whose story is told here gets to celebrate an ending that is also a beginning for all concerned. What we're about to read is where the story ends. I invite you to listen for God's word to you. Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, I need to seek some security for you so that it may be well with you. Now here is our kinsman Boaz, with whose young women you have been working. See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Now wash and anoint yourself and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." She said to her, "All that you tell me, I will do." And then moving forward in the story, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When they came together, the Lord made her conceive, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without next of kin, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became his nurse. The women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse, the father of David. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So last weekend, Jack and I celebrated our 39th wedding anniversary in Door County, Wisconsin. Now we know why you love it so much. As we sat by the lake reminiscing about our wedding day and anniversaries past, we realized it's been 9 years since we celebrated our 30th by taking a hot air balloon ride. 9 years ago, after three weather-related cancellations, we lifted off from a state park in western New York on a clear, crisp autumn day. With nothing but a wicker basket under our feet and a propane-powered canopy above, we rose over the river and falls with butterflies in our stomachs. Drifting over treetops, up over a ridge, open countryside appeared. In reverent silence, We drifted over farmlands and villages, woods and the river, roadways and railways, ponds and swimming pools. Our shadow, a silhouette against the trees, our reflection shimmering in water below. Autumn's spectacular colors from our vantage point a mile high. The heavens are indeed telling the grandeur of God. Then our captain informed us that you can't steer a hot air balloon. You are literally at the mercy of the wind, he said. You can give it more fuel and it will rise. You can turn down the flame and it will fall. And in so doing, you can ride the currents of the air, but you can't actually steer a hot air balloon. That's what I like about it, he said. You never know where you're going to end up. He said he likes not knowing where you're going to end up. Well, for the rest of the ride, I had to work with my rising fear and the voices in my head. He doesn't know where he's going to land this thing. What if we run out of fuel? What if there's no safe place to land? What if the van that's supposed to pick us up can't find us? Where are we going to end up? To be fully present to this experience, to take in the beauty of the vistas, to enjoy the company of my husband and the others in the basket with us, to get to a happy ending, I would have to trust the pilot and the wind that held us aloft. This morning, I want to leverage the story of Ruth to launch us to new vantage points on our life together at Crossroads, as we continue to ride the currents of the Spirit en route to the landing places God intends for Crossroads. In our biblical story, at the mercy of the winds of famine and loss, each of the characters, Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz, choose to act in ways that promote the well-being of the others. And each exhibits extraordinary behavior in response to ever-changing circumstances. In, with, and under their choices, God works to open their future. The story begins when famine drives a man named Elimelech and his wife Naomi from Judah to Moab, where they live as transient migrants. With high hopes and big dreams, they settle and begin to make their way. The children grow up and marry their childhood sweethearts. But then tragedy strikes again as all of the men of the family die. Years later, word reaches Naomi that the famine in Judah has ended. She sets out to return to her native land, telling her widowed daughters-in-law to go back to their families in Moab. Orpah goes, and the story makes no judgment about her choice. She does what her mother-in-law asks and seeks the security waiting for her back home among family. But Ruth will not leave her mother-in-law. She will return with Naomi to Judah, where the two women will find Naomi's relative Boaz and make a plan for their survival by gleaning in his fields. When Boaz learns about the Moabite woman in his fields, he's moved by the story of this young woman who chose to stay with her aged mother-in-law and thus will live out the rest of her days in a country that is not her own, among people not her own, with no safety net and no certain means of survival. Boaz not only gives his consent, allowing Ruth to glean in his fields, he also provides food and drink for her, guarantees her protection and safety among the workers, and instructs them to make sure there's something left over for her to glean. In these choices, both Ruth and Boaz exhibit a kind of extraordinary behavior that the Hebrew scriptures call chesed. In English, this word is usually translated loyalty or kindness, but its meaning goes well beyond what we might call random acts of kindness. Hesed is about care or concern for someone with whom one is in relationship that acts to rescue the other from a situation of desperate need, because the rescuer is uniquely qualified to do what is needed. Hesed looks like Ruth, tearfully hugging her sister goodbye, linking her arms and her future to the old woman who is her relative by marriage. Hesed sounds like Boaz, the respected male relative, a man of means and worth, under no obligation to take this foreign woman into his fields, who does it anyway. And Hesed stirs the pot when Naomi, the bitter old woman whose life has fallen apart, with wily wisdom cooks up the encounter between Ruth and Boaz on the threshing floor that secures a future for both of them. Hesed leads Boaz to take Ruth in marriage, and underneath it all is the steadfast love and loyalty of God bringing a new beginning. A son is born to Boaz and Ruth, and he is placed in Naomi's arms, a sign of God's future that has opened for all of them. As the community surrounds them and celebrates the old and broken heart that is healed, the bold and tenacious faith in God that provides, that proves trustworthy, and the child who we become, the father of Jesse and grandfather of David, we learn that this is the family through whom God's promised Messiah would one day be born. Friends, if ever there was a time for the full flourishing of Hesed at crossroads, this is it. The story of the past 10 years here has included elements of both feast and famine. In the losses and gains you've been through, for some there has been the bitter brokenheartedness of Naomi, and others, like Orpah, for their own valid reasons, have chosen to walk away. But you are still here, right? And if you've chosen to remain in relationship here, with your extraordinary care and concern for the needs of this community, with your above and beyond willingness to give what you are uniquely qualified to give, God is writing new chapters for Crossroads. And there is much more to the story. Today we get to the end of some chapters that have had Chris's name written all over them. Like Boaz, Ruth, and Naomi, Chris has been here with steadfast love and kindness. He's made sure that you are nourished from pulpit, font, and table. His pastoral prayers and presence have been a source of safety and comfort in all kinds of life circumstances. He has welcomed friend and stranger alike into the fields where there has been plenty to glean from his teaching. And he has insisted that we who are at the center, we who live and work and worship from places of power and plenty, allow ourselves to be changed by and to serve those at the margins, that our love for Jesus would be the fuel that propels us to be good news for the poor, to proclaim release for the captives, and to work for the recovery of sight for the blind. Tenacious in his love and commitment to the well-being of Crossroads, over the course of 13 years, Chris has shown you what it looks like to step up with the gifts that are needed, whether for a situation or a season. And now, as he's carried on the winds of the Spirit to another place, that may leave us feeling untethered from the ground that we have known. To get to the landing place that God has prepared for us, we're going to have to trust the wind that holds us aloft and the wisdom of all who are riding the currents with us. You see, none of these characters in the story of Ruth knew that through their choices, God was acting to secure a future for all of humanity. While they were on the ground in the weeds of their daily decisions in sometimes excruciating circumstances, they did not know that or how their loyalties, gut feelings, and canny decisions would figure in God's grand scheme for the redemption of the world. But now we have this story to lift us up, up and away from a plot infused with simple gestures, decisions, and actions, to see the God embedded in it all, bringing good things despite loss and trouble. In a hot air balloon, you get to see more than you can see from the ground. You get to take in the panorama that lifts your sights above and beyond the daily and ordinary on the ground to see God at work, deep and wide. And so on this annual meeting Sunday, let us rise on the winds of the Spirit to take in the people who have received what you have been uniquely prepared to give, the children and youth who have been nurtured here, the neighbors whose famine of the Spirit has been fed here, the strangers who have become friends at crossroads, finding a place of welcome, acceptance, and life-giving service to others here. Drifting in reverent silence, let us contemplate the impact you are making in the communities around us, where there are daily struggles with hunger and homelessness, with addiction and disease, with the soul-diminishing impact of a culture that looks for meaning in work or worth. Carried higher still, let's consider our nation and the world that God so loves, too often marred by forces that work against the life God wants for all. And let us give thanks for the voices, the influence, and the generosity of this congregation, giving and working, preaching and teaching and praying to create the conditions far and wide for the flourishing of the justice and goodness to which our Creator calls us. When you believe you're at the mercy of the wind, not knowing where you'll end up, you may have to work with your rising fear and the voices in your head until you can see that actually you've been carried on the currents of the loyal, self-giving love of God, who is writing a story of hope, a tale of love, a narrative of redemption at crossroads. There's no telling what God will yet do through the extraordinary care and concern of this congregation. So this is no time to hunker down in the basket, afraid to look out or look down, worried about where we will land. Instead, with courage and faith, we must untether ourselves from the ground that we know, and through our simple, daily, faithful choices, allow ourselves to be carried to a safe landing in the future God is shaping for us, grounded and surrounded by those who are here to catch us, where every ending is a new beginning. Thanks be to God. Amen.